And it's, I kept thinking, it's just a made-up holiday. It's just a holiday. It's not something, but it really, I was so sad that whole day without my kids there. And so, and I, you know, just kind of made it through that day and got over that day. And so I know a lot of you guys are hurting today, and then you're at church and we're talking about mothers. And so I just kind of wanted to pray before we started that God would be with us today, even as we're talking about motherhood. So if we could just pray first. Dear God, thank you for today, and thank you for our chance to just be with you, God. And I pray that for all the people who are hurting today as they've lost their mothers or lost children or are not with their children today, God, that you would just wrap your arms around them and help them to feel loved and comforted and just be in our midst today, God, as we try to honor you as we go through motherhood. Amen. So I'm going to kind of introduce everybody before we get started. And maybe we should go ahead and hand out the Kleenex now because everybody's already on edge. I can see everybody's already wiping away tears. So our moms are the first loves of our lives. Their love and care takes us through our childhood years. And if we're truly blessed, she grows from being a caretaker to a coach and a friend as we grow up. And so our first speaker today is Nancy Adams. She's reluctantly agreed to come and share her insights with us on that transition today. Nancy is a mom to 4 grown children and 3 grandchildren. So Nancy, will you come forward? Reluctantly. You can move it up too.
Yeah. Good morning. I was asked to talk about what it's like being a mother from formula bottles to beer bottles. Being a mom of 4 children, Jesse, Jerry, Joe, and Lena, was quite challenging for me. I had to figure out 4 different personalities, making sure that I hit the mark, trying not to wound them in the process. I had to have a plan how to stay consistent but picking my battles, setting limits, but giving them their space to learn life's lessons. I'll admit to that I missed the mark quite often. Being an overprotective mom, I warned them about everything I knew that would harm them, and I still do, over and over. I was a stay-at-home mom. It gave me a sense of control, that is, until they hit the teen years. Then I longed for the terrible 2s and the trying 3s again. It was a lot of hard work. Yes, it was my job to make sure they were fed, dressed, bathed, and that they knew that they were loved and that they were safe. This is a job I love showing up for and doing. There was great joy and satisfaction being the mother of Jesse, Jerry, Joe, and Lena. The most fulfilling job I've ever had. I loved every aspect of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Thanking God for getting me through all of it. It seemed that each child touched a different need in my life as I hope I touched in theirs. I missed the cuddles, the simpler questions, random kisses, and the looks they gave me knowing that I'd protect them no matter what. I was always willing to beat someone up for them. As I go through life, I try to hit the mark in every aspect of my life, especially my walk with Jesus. When I missed the mark with him, he loved me anyway, just as my children love me in spite of myself. I tried to do the best I knew how and later offered to pay for therapy sessions. Since I was asked to speak, I'd written 3 different drafts. The first draft, I was the best mom ever. I gave wisdom-filled advice, whether they wanted it or not. My kids loved me. I had my rose-colored glasses on. The second draft, something came up with one of my kids, and I didn't feel like being a mom. I didn't want to solve their problems. I wasn't feeling very motherly. The third draft, I only got to the title, "What does it mean when they say, well, you're the mom?" I don't know. I haven't figured that one up. But I think as a mom, we go through different emotions at different times. These 3 drafts came within days of each other. I was the greatest mother one moment and not so great the next. I found that I'm still trying to hit the mark because it's so easy to do a lifetime of damage saying the wrong thing and not being sensitive to the uniqueness of each child. As my children grow older, I have to give them back to God. It's hard, because I want to take them back. I want to beat the mean people up that hurt them. But I don't want to mess up God's perfect plan that he has for them. There's a saying, let go and let God, but that is easier said than done. I just pray that they don't get too burnt in the fire of refinement, the purification that they have to go through to become who God has uniquely designed them to be. As a mom, I'm close by, but God is closer, and that is why I have the assurance that they are in better hands than I could ever offer. Let go and let God, I will be forever trying.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really appreciate that. Our next mom speaking today is Donna Machado Reed. She is going to be sharing with us about her journey through motherhood. She's going to kind of focus on Jessica. Jessica is her 11-year-old daughter who was diagnosed with diabetes when she was 7 months old. And Donna is going to tell us her story as she navigates that world of doctor's visits and insulin shots and just what it's like to be a mom whose child has diabetes. So, Donna. I don't want to put it down.
So I'm going to kind of touch on that. I really want to touch on, mainly I'll be touching on the miracle of my child, and I'm going to try not to cry, but okay, so when I was 7 years old, my mom was told that I was diabetic, and we were at a hospital, and her friend told her that it was okay to be angry with God for giving it to me, but that always sounded wrong. So fast forward to 2003, and it was my baby laying in that hospital bed. She didn't look like the happy seven-month-old, and I stood outside the ER on the phone with my dad telling him that I was so angry at God for giving this to my baby. And then he said, who is more qualified to take care of a diabetic child than you? And she's still Jessica, and she's still here. And a lot of things happened between then and now, good and bad, highs and lows, but Jessica and I are still here. So when I was a teenager, I was told I wasn't supposed to have kids, that my body couldn't handle it, and it would kill me if I did, and it almost did. But the key word in that is almost. I don't remember her birth. I don't remember holding her in my arms for the minute that she was there. I remember when she was 4 days old, walking into, because I was Manteca, and I was too unstable to travel, and Jessica was in Modesto. And so I walked into the NICU, and I had no idea who my baby was. But luckily, my mom was there, and she showed me where she was. And the moment I laid eyes on her, she was so beautiful, and she was mine. And God didn't take me from her that day. She was born, so why would I be mad at him? Now, 7 months later, I'm standing outside an ER, and Jessica's blood sugar was 1,700. And she's still here. And God didn't take her from me, even though that normally would mean death. So about 3 years after that, I had a minor stroke. And I suffered, it affected my eyesight, and I was sick in bed for about a month. And it could have been so much worse, and God could have taken me then, but here I am standing before you with no damage, lasting damage. Shortly after recovering from that, Jessica developed strep throat and it turned into scarlet fever. And as I'm racing down 99 in an ambulance with my little girl towards Medeiros Children's Hospital, I was praying for healing. And as I was telling, and as I'm telling you this, I'm sure she is running around out, around back. She's very, you know, everybody knows Jessica. If I stayed mad at God that day outside the ER and let my heart be turned from him, I don't know what would have happened or where we would be today. Just cause my world, she's beautiful and stubborn and bossy, just like me. She's starting in the seventh grade later this year. And as much as I hate sharing, and as much as it scared me that I wouldn't be the only one she called mommy, she has an amazing stepmom. Who homeschools her and takes care of her every day as if she was her own and loves her, not as a stepdaughter, but as a daughter. And I enjoy sharing her with Kim. I can't imagine where I would be if I let my anger consume me or what kind of mother I would be. Even though I didn't let my anger overcome me, I know my love for God and Jessica was more powerful than my anger. He loves me more than I can fathom. He put this amazing little girl in my life and showed me how to be a mother. Us being diabetic doesn't define us. Shots doesn't define us. Blood sugars don't define us. Crazy low blood sugars don't define us. It's God loves us, defines us. It's my love for being a mom and God's love for her and I that matters. So may God bless you as much as he has blessed me on this Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. I told you we need some tissues. And before we get the last one, I wanted to read this first. It says, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And our last speaker today is Melissa Mullen. She and her husband, Jonathan, have two children, Joshua and Aurora, and they have recently become part of our church family. Melissa is going to share her journey on what prompted them to seek out a church and then what it's like to balance family and work and home and time for yourself too. So this is Melissa. Thanks for sharing.
Well, good morning. That was a tough act to follow, Donna. Thank you. But as Beth said, my name is Melissa. I was raised a Christian, as was my husband, but as we grew older, we kind of strayed from the church. When we got married, and again, when we had kids, we always talked about, hey, we have to find a church. Hey, we have to find a church. Hey, we have to find a church. And it kind of just never happened. So then when my son was three, it was right before last Easter, Joshua turns to me. It's very vivid memory, and he is at the kitchen table, and I'm at the sink washing dishes. Joshua says, hey, Mama, what's Easter all about? And I said, it's when the Easter bunny comes to visit. And Jonathan looks at me and says, really? And I literally said, oh, my God, what does it come to? So I knew that that was a point where I needed to change what we were doing and to go back to church so that we could raise our children properly in a Christian home. And so we immediately started looking for a church. We started with going back to the church I was raised in for Easter Sunday, and unfortunately it was a bad experience. They were packed to the brim. There was no seating, which is generally a good thing, you know, that so many people want to show up on Easter Sunday, but they did baptisms. There was no actual sermon. It was unfortunately very disappointing, and Rory was fussy that day, and we just kind of got some bad vibes from people. So the next week, we decided to show up here. And we come, and we thought we were late, so we come rushing in, and turns out we're an hour early. And we meet Beth, and we meet Miss Ilda, and we have, fun time chatting at the coffee hour before. And then I will always remember, and thank you, Miss Ilda, right before church service started, Rory was young enough that we were still holding her in our arms. And she turns around and she says, "By the way, we love baby noises." And that immediately put me at ease. And I know that this was the right church for us. And we've been attending here ever since. So, yes. So, needless to say, my children have renewed my faith in the church and in God. And so, I thought I was prepared for motherhood. And after all, my parents did it. How hard could it be, right? I had a very skewed perspective and thought that the supermom myth actually existed and that I could do it with ease and that I could maintain my previous lifestyle. And boy, was I wrong. So when I started working on this speech, I was going to say that I didn't have all the answers and that I was working on it. Life is a constant journey. And as I was working on it, I realized, hey, I think I actually do have some answers. So I have learned some things and am still continuing to learn things. As I'm sure many of you know in this room, some things include your house will never be as clean as it was before children. Your free time is now a luxury. It never fails that when you go to sit down to eat a hot meal, the baby will cry. There will be some close calls and some injuries, including broken bones. There will be some laughter and some tears, sometimes at the same time. There will be screaming and yelling, but there will also be hugs. You will eat countless meals consisting of mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, fish sticks, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You may have to relearn how to have an adult conversation. After you feel like you have mastered a stage where your child is at, the kids have the audacity to go and change. So, parenthood is like walking a tightrope, and by having a baby and starting a family, someone just kind of pushed you off and said, go. No matter how many times that you've observed other people doing it, it's totally different, and there's unexpected changes when you actually do it. I've discovered that God is my safety net. He will catch me when I fall, and that my network of support, family, friends, and the church will help get me back up. There's many things that I still have to learn about balancing that tightrope and going through life. How do I protect my children and yet let them experience life? How do I take time off for myself and not ignore my children? How do I let my children do things themselves and yet time management says that I don't have 20 minutes for them to climb into the car and buckle themselves? So... how do I work to support them and yet not work my life away and have actual time to enjoy spending with them? I think that it's a journey, and as corny as it sounds, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey, and that with the support system here, we'll help figure it out together. So I'd like to end with Joshua's favorite prayer, if you've ever heard him. Or his favorite pray, as he says. Dear God, thank you for the world, and thank you for everything we need. Amen.
Thank you so much to Melissa and to Donna and to Nancy for just sharing some of their experiences today. And I just appreciate all of it, and I know that some of the stories have resonated with each of you today. Moms have an awesome responsibility, and we have to rely on God and on our church family, like Melissa was saying, to get through this. So we're going to go back to the video. We're going to see the second half of the video that we started at the beginning of the service.